Hello, everyone, and welcome to Meow Mix, the Carolina Panthers podcast. My name is Steven.
My name is Jerry.
And we have some news.
Yes,
big news. Huge news.
Big.
The Panthers have addressed maybe the most glaring remaining deficiency on the team. They addressed it today. Got us a pass rusher extraordinaire, Jerry.
Yes. I mean, that sounds weird the way you said it, but yes. Pass rusher extraordinaire, or just a really good edge rusher. I mean, at 31 years old, Jadeveon Clowney is coming home.
When I saw the news, at first I thought it was fake. Because normally Jadeveon Clowney waits until, like, after mini camp and, you know, sometimes into training camp before he signs anywhere. But I think the Panthers made him an offer that he couldn't refuse, sounds like.
Yeah, 2 years, $20 million to up to 24. I mean, as a 31-year-old, I feel like with his longevity, I guess he didn't have the greatest of years with the Browns in 2022, only 2 sacks, 28 combined tackles. But he's coming off a 9.5-sack season with Baltimore, so I don't know. I think that's good value for him.
I
don't think it's
a
big overspin. I don't think it's an underspin. It's,
I think it's
where I would see him.
Yeah, I kind of figured around $10 million a year for him. Obviously, we all hope that, you know, you could get somebody cheaper or a guy like that cheaper. But, you know, you got to pay for guys like that, especially if you're the Panthers. But a few selling points for him. He's from the area, right?
Yeah.
So they, I think he's like 30 minutes away from here is where he was born and where his
Rock
family
Hill.
Is. So, yep. The money, obviously. He knows he's going to be the man on this defensive line, right? I mean, he's he's going to be the guy to a chance to kind of lead this team from a defensive perspective. I don't know if that's something that he is super pumped about or not, but I mean, that's kind of be the, he's going to be kind of the veteran leader, I feel like, on this defense.
I think Shaq will still probably have that.
Well,
even though he didn't really play last year because of the, injuries, but
yeah, well, you're right there. Shaq for sure. But in terms of, you know, being kind of the explosive playmaking veteran, I guess, because Shaq is just really not that guy anymore. In fact, I completely forgot about Shaq when I think about the defense, you know, because even we were talking earlier in our chat and I was like, you know, the Panthers really stays, we've got to do something about linebacker. We just don't have any great linebackers. Shaq didn't even enter my brain. I didn't think about him on the team.
It's because he didn't play last
year. Yeah, I know.
I think maybe he played a game or two, but that was it. So,
well, I still feel a little bad about that. Sorry, Shaq. I did see that Shaq, about a week ago, I guess, moved away from number 7 back to number 54, and Jadeveon Clowney, number 7. So I wonder how long this was kind of in the works in terms of being a real thing.
I don't think that, because he was 24 in
Baltimore. Yeah, but is 7 his number, right? Isn't that what he wore in South Carolina?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not a big Gamecock fan, but yes. I wouldn't assume that's why him. And I wouldn't be shocked if DJ Wonnum becomes that lightning person as well. I mean, he had 8.5 sacks last year. He's a little bit younger, you know, big contract. But pairing them both up, then you have another signing in Clavion Chesson as just like the backup.
Depth.
They really kind of solidified that edge type of position. I really like, sorry, my daughter got me sick again.
Oh, man.
Shocking, I know.
Kids, man, kids.
Yeah, germ factories. I really like what Dan Morgan has done. It feels like here's the areas of we need to fix, or at least plug holes, and he's plugging them with decent veterans, and that gives him opportunity in the draft to really kind of float out of best player available slash need, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You're not going to draft a quarterback at 33. It just doesn't.
Sure. I mean, you know, best player available within reason, I feel like. I mean, there, you know, we were talking earlier. There is a plan. There has to be a plan, right? They're not going to take a quarterback or, you know, maybe not even a running back or something at number 33. But everything else seems to be kind of open. So I tweeted out a little earlier, you know, with this signing that I felt like despite a, and I use this word, disastrous start to free agency, that the Panthers have really kind of come around, and I feel like they've made a lot of good moves. I got some pushback on the word disastrous, but I don't know that. I mean, when you look at, if you take the entire Brian Burns saga and the way that it ended, and then losing Frankie Louvu, even though you offered more money for him to be here, right? And then YGM is gone, Von Bell is gone, you know, all these pieces, all these starters on this team on a defense that was good last year are gone. You know, yeah, we had a couple of guard signings early that made me happy, but I mean, it wasn't just me. Like, nationally, everyone was giving the Panthers terrible grades. Like, it was not a good start to free agency. Like, it was terrible overall.
No, it was not.
But they have come back. And, you know, the moves that Dan's made to shore up this team and the Deontay Johnson trade, you know, Clowney now landing him. There's talk of Stephon Gilmore potentially coming back. That would just be, that'd be icing on the cake right there. I feel really good right now about where this team is.
I do too. Like, on paper, it's a solid team. I think, again, you just mentioned it, another corner is going to be needed.
Mm-hmm.
I think J.C. Horn, Troy Hill are not – that's it. I don't even know any other guys on the team realistically.
I mean, I know we have others, and I think we even signed another one fairly recently, but I don't remember who it is. I don't have the roster pull it up in front of me. But, yeah, I mean, bringing in Gilmore would be really nice. That would kind of give us three, I feel like, starting caliber corners.
Dane Jackson.
Yeah.
That's who it was.
Yeah, another DJ. That's right. We talked about him. But, you know, in terms of edge, you know, you've got Amari Barno, who hopefully will be healthy and made some plays last year. DJ Johnson, who they were high on last year, and Canales mentioned by name in his annual meeting interview that he did yesterday. So, you know, there are some guys that, you know, some young guys to pair with these veterans that there may be something here. Now, let's be realistic, right? We say we
Super
like
Bowl. The, Super Bowl.
At minimum. Is there something better than that? Because I feel like that's where we're heading. No.
Yeah.
When we say we like these moves, when we say we like where this team is right now, it's all relative, right? We like it in relation to where we were last year at this time, maybe. I'm still expecting like 6 wins, maybe 7 wins. I know Canales said that he believes that we can compete for the division this season. That feels a little optimistic, in my opinion.
What is he gonna say? No, we're just,
well, gonna get... yeah, I know. You're right. Maybe, you know, what else is he gonna say? You're right. But for the fans, expecting a division championship this year, it feels like fool's gold.
I want us not to be the butt of the NFL jokes. That's my real goal. I want us to put out a competent offense. Something we haven't seen here in 3-4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it was when Wilkes had his run, it was competent because they had a game plan. It ran them,
right.
Ran the ball down their throats.
Right. Yeah.
And it worked.
It did. It did work. We had the perfect personnel for it. I feel like we had good personnel for it last year, and they decided not to go that direction. Frank Reich adamantly did not want to go that direction. Said it in press conferences. We are not a power running team. I do not want to be a power running team, even though that's what the offensive line was good at.
Yeah.
As we saw the previous year. Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned a plan, right? It feels like there's a plan. It feels like there is a direction that the entire organization is pointing in, and they are executing on the plan, right? Got rid of a bunch of vets, got rid of a lot of playmakers, honestly, but shipped out a lot of good players. The rebuild is on, and they're going to rebuild with the draft. You know, they've said that, but they're bringing in these free agents who are veterans. So maybe while they're rebuilding, we're not terrible to watch. Right?
Exactly.
Like it's entertaining to watch, and we're in some close games, and Bryce is able to, you know, get better because they're going to put a competent team around him and
competent game plan.
Right. Some of these other younger players on defense, they're going to have veterans around. They can see what it's supposed to look like. Right. I like it. I like where we're going.
I do too. I really like the signing. The signing kind of encapsulates. One thing I was thinking about, though, we lost a lot of veterans on the defense. Mm-hmm. And the more I'm looking at how we're signing players, it feels like Evero has more of a say than he did last year.
I hope so, yeah.
Because it seems like he wasn't all the way on Brian Burns. He definitely wasn't on Jeremy Chinn. They offered Luvu.
Yeah,
more money. So you can't say wasn't wanted here by the organization or Evero, and he had a great year here. So I kind of feel like he's trying to mold it a little bit more into his defense.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that is the case, because he should be able to put together his own defense, right? He knows what he wants. He knows what players are good for his system. Something else that Canales kind of mentioned was you have your system, but your system has to be very flexible, right?
100% I agree with that.
Yeah, and he's like saying, you know, he kind of said, he's like, you don't want to force people into your system because that's your system. And I'm thinking to myself, yes, like where was this last year? This is what we were begging Frank Reich to do last year, was to adapt. And he couldn't do it. And, mm-hmm. you know, here we go with David Tepper again. He's kind of veering off completely, doing a complete 180 from what he did last time. And maybe this time he got it right. Like, again, no games have been played. Everything's on paper. We haven't even had the draft yet. But everything I hear Canales say, I like.
I 100% understand how Canales wooed in his interview. From listening to him talk, he's a smooth talker. He's very good at saying the right thing. And I get pumped when I hear him. That being said, I'm holding out till I see it on the field. But I like what I hear from him. It does sound like he has a plan and an idea.
Yeah.
The first thing he says he wants to work on with Bryce Young is getting his drop back.
His footwork done. Yep.
So stuff like that, I like hearing. It sounds like he said, I want to see him throw different routes, and I can tell which one he feels most comfortable with the way he plants his feet. I like that. That sounds like, okay, I'm going to see what he does best and work there. Again, something this offense never did last year or the years before, but that was also
which is so shocking ineptitude. Because Frank Reich, former quarterback, Josh McCown, quarterback. Like this coaching staff was full of quarterback gurus, former players in the league, and nobody seemed to care about Bryce's footwork. Nobody seemed to want to focus on that. And that is, you know, just from a fan standpoint, that's what you hear all the time. These guys who know what they're talking about say, oh, his footwork is bad. You got to fix the footwork. That's like number one. That's one of the first things that good coaching staffs do when they draft a quarterback is they make sure his footwork is right, right? Then you work on the throwing motion or whatever, or, you know, getting it out quickly, or, you know, progressions, things like that. But the footwork is fundamental, and they were just not. Wasn't that the kind of the rumor is that David Tepper handed him a piece of paper or something that said work on footwork or something like that? I mean, you know.
No, the only one I heard of Tepper handing a piece of paper was with a play.
Okay. I remembered hearing something about Tepper, you know, talking about them needing to work on Bryce's footwork. Maybe I'm making that up, but either way, we've been fooled before.
Oh, 100%.
By smooth-talking coaches. I mean, Matt Rhule was like a Southern preacher.
Yeah.
And I was the choir. I was eating every bit of what he was saying up.
I was ready to run through a wall his first press conference.
I mean, that guy, he is an orator. He can speak. But Canales, I don't know, with Matt Rhule, especially looking back on it, it all seemed so staged with him, right? It just didn't seem real. Frank Reich seemed real, but again, didn't really seem to know what he was doing or didn't have the players around that fit his system. Canales.
It seemed like.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, he just seemed very stubborn, very old school. This is how we do it.
Right. Now, inflexible, unable to adapt. Like many older folks in our world, you know, just stuck in their ways. Canales is saying the right things. You know, he is a younger guy. He seems really excited. You know, it feels like a guy. Who was I listening to? Adam Thielen was talking on, I think he was on like Good Morning Football or something. And he was talking about Canales, and he was saying, you know, he's a young guy who's come in. He's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder because he feels like he's been passed over. And he wants to prove that he's been, you know, ready, right? And I know he's young, but
I was going to say passed
he was
over.
Just this a first, just... but he was just a or offensive coordinator for the first time last year.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what he's talking about, is he just hasn't had those opportunities. He finally got the opportunity for an offensive coordinator, and boom, he's a head coach immediately. So I like it. You know, everything feels moving in the right direction now. And I just hope that I pray that we are not going to get let down again.
Oh, yeah. I think we're also hampered our expectations just because of being slapped around for two times.
I mean, don't over. What's the phrase about not being disappointed? I don't know, but we're trying to you know, manage our expectations. This is still, you know, when you kind of look at the team, depth is a big problem, as it was last year. And you're still missing some very key pieces, and there's still a lot of questions.
Oh, 100%.
You know, about Bryce, about Canales. You know, can Horn stay healthy? Like, there's just a lot of one thing breaks and the whole house of cards falls down. So we're not saying Super Bowl. We're not saying division championship. But we do hope that they're a competitive team that gets better as the year goes on, and we see the growth. And then maybe 2026, 2025, 2026, those are the years that you start to look for the division, right? That's what we hope for.
That's what I'm hoping for. I will say this is such a weak division that it would not shock me if they were able to compete for that, but that's not my mental goal. Does that make sense? It would be a want, but not a realistic want.
And the division is not going to be weak forever. I mean, the division, I think every team has gotten better this offseason. Maybe not the Falcons. You know, a lot of people are pointing to the Falcons to say they're the clear front runners, but Kirk Cousins coming off a torn, was it an Achilles or an ACL?
Achilles. I'm looking at 30
something years old. The Saints,
Saints and the Bucks. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. I think
had one good offensive year and we stole their OC.
Yeah. Yeah.
I should say one good season without Tom Brady.
Right.
Like, Todd Bowles has never had a good offense.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they do. The Saints feel a little better to me than they were last year, but again, they're coached by Dennis Allen, who just not a good head coach. I feel like this is his last year probably. Could be Bowles' last year. Raheem Morris did not have success as a head coach. That was a long time ago. It feels like he – I'm glad he's getting an opportunity. I hate that it's with Atlanta.
Yeah, me too.
But I don't think they're going to suffer because of their head coach. But, you know, Kirk Cousins is getting up there in age, and he's coming off an injury. Who knows, right? Who knows? But, yeah, the division it feels like the Panthers are not going to have time to strike while the iron's hot in terms of the division.
No. I mean, that was the original plan, but guess what? They failed.
Yeah.
They failed to set it up.
That's the foundation. Feels like that's why they didn't do the full rebuild a couple years ago, because Tepper smelled blood in the water and was like, oh, man, we just need a couple of pieces. Well, you needed a lot more than a couple pieces, and you needed the right guy in charge. And they didn't have either of those. So, yeah. But Jadeveon Clowney, we're excited about it. Went off on a bit of a tangent.
I mean, yeah. Again, looking at his stats, overall, he was not worth where he was drafted, but he's a good fringe Pro Bowler. I mean, he's never had over 10 sacks, but it's, you know, 9.5, 9, 9, 9.5. Then there's 2, 3s. It's a weird kind of mix of where he fits. It does look like he does play better in like a 3-4 type of defense. And that's where he's coming to.
Yeah. There's no, you know, again, it's a little expensive, I guess. But $10 million a year compared to, you know, Burns getting $30 million a year. Or close to it, whatever the actual number is. But it's, you know, a third or a little less than that of Burns. He's going to give you, you know, 75% of the production, it feels like. 80% of the production. He had a better productive season last year. People in Baltimore are kind of bummed that they didn't get to re-sign him. You know, I was kind of looking at some comments from Baltimore fans, and they were like, we really liked him. Like, we were felt like he had a really good season last year, so... You know, that makes me feel good.
Looking at his stats, he probably had one of his best seasons.
Yeah.
40 total tackles, 19 assists, 9.5 sacks, 5 pass deflections.
Yeah.
I mean, his only season that may have been better was probably 2017 with the Houston Texans. I mean, 9.5 sacks, 52 tackles, 2 pass deflections.
How many teams has he been on?
Because
like
when I was searching for the thumbnail like image of him, I picked a Baltimore one, but he was too dark with the black pants and everything, so I had to go. He was on Tennessee Titans. Completely forgot about that.
Oh man, you could have told me. You could have named them as a possibility, and I would have said no. I don't even remember that.
Yeah. Okay, so 5 teams,
including the Panthers.
Not including. Okay, the
so
Panthers.
This is a 6th team.
So I mentioned the Titans.
Yep.
Okay, go.
All right, Texans, Seattle, Cleveland, Baltimore.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you got them all. All
right. I wouldn't have gotten the Titans.
I wouldn't either. I was shocked when I saw that. And that was honestly his probably worst year.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's probably why I don't remember it. He's probably just, he disappeared. Well, let's hope that that this year's better.
Yeah. Stay tuned. Next week, we start dropping our draft profiles. We're going to tweak them a little bit this year. I think we're going to try to make them a little bit shorter, but we're going to try to hit more people, more players.
Yeah. Last year, we didn't do a ton of second, third, fourth round guys. This year, that's all we got. So
that's all we got, baby.
We don't have any first round guys. And last year was focused on quarterbacks, too. So
yeah, this year, I also have been looking at it. We have some really good potential wide receivers falling to us.
Yeah.
And when I say good, I'm saying they would be a first-round talent in other drafts. So
some of the guys I've been looking at, like, they're all fast. They're all, like, 4.3, 4.4 guys.
No one's slow.
Right. I mean, they're all fast. And there's going to be some options.
Yeah, and last year they were all short. Like, they were all, like, 6 foot or
right.
sub.
That's right.
This is not that class. There are 6'3", 6'2", running 5, or 5, 4 threes. And it's
running
just like,
five threes.
Wow.
They are blazing.
They are blazing. I mean, honestly, I can't run a 5.3.
No, no. I'd struggle to get under a 7 probably.
I would pull a hammy trying.
Yeah, off the line. He's crawling his 40. All right.
All right. Let me scroll down here. Thank you for listening. If you like the show, please let your friends know. Please follow us on Twitter at MeowBigsPodcast. If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at mailbag@meowbigspodcast.com. And if you leave us a 5-star review with a comment on Apple Podcasts, we'll read it on the show.
As Jerry said, we'll be back probably weekly, I would say. Maybe multiple times a week. Yeah, up until the draft, giving you some of our potential draft picks and guys that we like. So until then, everybody stay safe out there and keep pounding.